理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 19 Laurie's Letter. Jo's face looked quite mysterious the next day, as she felt quite important with the great secret her mother had told her. Meg noticed, but did not trouble herself to ask any questions, as she had learned that the best way to manage Jo was not to ask any questions, which would greatly surprise Jo and force her to tell everything.Meg was rather shocked, therefore, when the silence continued. Laurie, too, noticed the change in Jo and decided that he would discover the secret. He begged, teased, threatened, and scolded, but she refused to tell. Finally, he decided that it must concern Meg and Mr. Brooke. Meg, in the meantime, had forgotten the matter,and was preparing for her father's return. But all of a sudden, a change came over her, and for a day or two, she acted quite strangely, looking embarrassed when spoken to, and was often found looking troubled.
"She's in love. She's leaving us very fast." Once she said, "John," as you do, and then looked embarrassed. "Whatever shall we do?"
said Joe to her mother one day.
"Nothing but wait. Let her alone. Be kind and patient. And when father comes, we'll settle everything,"
replied her mother.
"Here's a note to you, Meg. How strange,"
said Joe next day. Mrs. March and Joe were busy with their own affairs when Meg cried out, staring at her note with a frightened face.
"What is the matter?"
cried her mother.Running to her.
"It's all a mistake. He didn't send it. Oh, Joe, how could you?"
Meg asked.
"Me? I've done nothing. What's she talking about?"
cried Joe in confession. Meg's eyes had a look of anger in them as she threw the note at Joe, saying,
"You wrote it, and that bad boy helped you. How could you be so rude to us both?"
Joe heard little of what she said, as she and her mother were reading the mysterious note, written in a strange handwriting.
"My dearest Margaret, I can no longer be silent about my love for you. I cannot tell your parents, but I believe they would agree if they knew we loved one another. Mr. Lawrence will help me find excellent work, and then, my sweet girl,You will make me happy. Please say nothing to your family yet, but send me your response through Laurie. I must know if you love me as I do you. Your loving John."
"Oh, that evil boy! I'll certainly scold him for this,"
cried Joe, but her mother stopped her, saying,
"Stop, Joe. You have played many jokes before.And I am afraid you were a part of this." "Oh, Mother, I haven't. I never saw that note before, and don't know anything about it,"
said Joe honestly.
"If I had taken part in it, I'd have done it better than this. Mr. Brooke wouldn't write such things,"
she added angrily.
"It's like his writing," said Meg, coming in with the note in her hand.
"Oh, Meg.You didn't answer the letter, did you?"
cried Mrs. March quickly.
"Yes, I did."
"Here's a terrible problem. I'll go fetch that terrible boy to explain,"
said Joe, walking toward the door.
"Hush. Joe, you stop. Now, Meg, tell me what happened,"
said her mother, sitting down next to Meg, refusing to allow Joe to leave.
"I received the first letter from Laurie, who didn't look as if he knew anything about it," began Meg. "I was worried at first and wished to tell you, but then remembered how you liked Mr. Brooke, so I thought you wouldn't mind if I kept my little secret for a few days. I'm so foolish to have done such a thing."
"What did you say to him?"
asked Mrs. March.
I only said I was too young to do anything about it yet, that I didn't wish to have secrets from you, and he must speak to Father. I was very grateful for his kindness, and would be his friend, but nothing more for a long while.
Mrs. March smiled, well pleased at her daughter's response.
How did he respond to that, my dear?
He wrote in a different way, telling me that he never sent any love letter at all, and is very sorry that my sister Jo played such a terrible joke on us both. It's very kind and respectful, but how terrible I feel!
I don't believe Brooke ever saw either of these letters,
said Jo, examining the two letters.
Lori wrote them both, and keeps yours to tease me because I won't tell him my secret.
Don't have any secrets, Jo. Tell it to Mother, and keep out of trouble, as I should have done, said Meg.
My dear, it was Mother that told me. Now, Jo, I'll comfort Meg while you go get Lori, said Mrs. March calmly.
Jo went away quickly, and Mrs. March gently told Meg Mr. Brooks' real feelings.
Now, dear, what are your own? Do you love him enough to wait till he can make a home for you, or will you keep yourself free for the present?
I've been so scared and worried. I don't want to have anything to do with lovers for a long while. Perhaps never, answered Meg. If John doesn't know anything about this, don't tell him, and make Jo and Lori keep quiet. I feel so shameful.
Soon enough, Lori arrived, and he was left alone with Mrs. March. For half an hour, the two spoke quietly in the sitting room, but what happened during that time, the girls never knew. When the girls were called in, Lori was standing by their mother with a guilty face, and Jo forgave him instantly. Meg received a sincere apology and was much comforted when told that Brooke knew nothing of the joke.
I'll never tell him, so I hope you'll forgive me, Meg, and I'll do anything to show how terribly sorry I am,
he added, looking very much ashamed of himself.
I'll try, but it was a terrible thing to do. I didn't think you could do such a thing, Lori, replied Meg, trying to hide her confusion.
It was horrible, and I don't deserve to be spoken to for a month. But you will, though, won't you?
He asked with a smile, and Meg could only laugh. Everyone else had forgotten the event, except Meg. She never spoke of a certain person, but she thought of him a good deal, dreamed dreams more than ever. And once, Jo found a bit of paper with the words, Mrs. John Brooke, and was horrified to see such a thing, immediately throwing the paper in the fire.